you see.
Here we are looking at chapter. Here we are, chapter 34, Tanya.
It's the truth. This is here, is the truth, not what we get this rabbit thrown at us all the time.
Now, Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 34. V'hineh medu asois. Now it's well known.
Where am I? Over
here we are, there, right?
Yeah.
That's on page 154 at the bottom, 153, 154. Now it's well known, they are called the chariot. Now the chariot, the mekava, is a very profound idea. And the same way that a chariot, let's imagine it in modern terms, let's say a car. A person is driving a car. Now, the car moves because the person driving the car, that's where he's moving the car. The car doesn't have a mind of its own. The person moves the steering wheel, so the car goes to the right. He moves it the other way, the car goes to the left. So there is an idea that the great tzaddikim like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, Rachel, Rivka, and Rachel and Leah, they were the Merkava. They were like a chariot to God. They were completely bonded to God. Shekol yameim la'olam, that all their life through, continually, lo hifsiku afilu sha'a achas, they didn't interrupt even for one moment, milakasha daitam, from bonding their mind, v'nishmosam, and their soul, l'ribon ha'olamim, to the master of all worlds, b'bittul, with the self-abnegation, haniska la'el, which we mentioned above in the previous chapter, the idea of being completely self-abnegated, that means it's not their ego which is telling them to do something. It is a divine awareness which is inside them, and that self-abnegation is in relation to liyachuda yisbalach, the unity of God, the infinite, amazing oneness of God. And that oneness of God is really, you were saying, you know, what's truth and what's reality? Ultimately, it's the oneness of God which is reality and which is truth, and everything else might express that, or it might conceal that, and sometimes it conceals it more and more and more. So anything which is some kind of transgression of the Torah hides godliness, but even if it doesn't actually look like a transgression, if it's just ordinary life, it doesn't have the oneness of God shining through. Whereas the patriarchs, if we were to see Abraham, Isaac, and so on, we would be immediately tremendously inspired just by seeing them, because in their whole being they were devoted totally to godliness. Now, that's how the patriarchs were, and that's why the Torah, which is so sacred, starts off all about the patriarchs. And after the patriarchs come all the prophets. Kol echod, each one, lefi madregas nishmosoi, according to the level of his soul, v'hasagosoi, of his grasp, his level of relating to godliness. Umadregas Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom, and the level of Moses, hiya oila al kolonu, that was particularly exalted, that was higher than anyone. She'omru alav, because they said about Moses, the sages say about him, Shechina medaberes, it's a picture coming, the Shechina medaberes, the divine presence speaks, mitoich groino shel Moshe, from the throat of Moshe. Now that's what the Midrash said, that the divine presence speaks through Moshe's throat. So in other words, Moshe was speaking And what he was saying was really something from God. So anything that he said was Torah, the teachings of Moshe, the whatever Moshe talked about was itself Torah. Now that's an incredible spiritual level, and that is what Moshe, who was the leader of all prophets, that's the quality that he had. And something like that, Zocho Yisrael b'maymed ha-Sinai, the Jewish people achieved when they were at Mount Sinai. Because Mount Sinai was an incredible experience that God was revealed to all of us, and all our souls were there as well. And it was absolutely incredible. Rak shelo yochlu lisvoil, but we weren't able to bear it. It was too intense. K'maymer Hazal, as the sages tell us, shal kol dibo pocha nishmosu, at every word from God, the souls of the Jewish people fled. Flew away, because it was just so incredibly intense. Shuhu inyan bitul b'metzias, and describing it as the soul fleeing is a way of describing this total, utter self-abnegation, haniskel el, that we're speaking about. Lochein, therefore, given that this contact with the divine was so intense and so unbearable and couldn't really be part of normal life, miyad omalahem, God told them la'asos lo mishkan, that they should make for him a sanctuary, uboy kodshe hakadoshim, and there would be the Holy of Holies, la'hashros shchinosa, where the divine presence would dwell. Shehu gilui yichuda yisbarach, because that is the revelation of the oneness of God, k'moshe kosev l'kamen, as will be explained further on. So there we have the idea of a sanctuary, and in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, it's the divine presence, and then it's something we can live with, because it means the divine presence isn't here, right here where I am this second, and I can't take it. The divine presence is in the sanctuary, and you know what? So occasionally, three times a year, on a festival, I'll go to the sanctuary, or maybe I'll go there a little bit more often, and the high priest will go into the Holy of Holies once a year on Yom Kippur with great preparation and everyone fasting. So it's a way of keeping this intense holiness in a kind of a way that we're able to deal with, because otherwise it's just too much. And if it's revealed, just 1 second. Okay, well, we are. We are up to the word to Mishachorav Beis Hamikdash. Do you see in the 11 lines up in the middle of the line, Mishachorav Beis Hamikdash. In the middle?
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
So Hashem told them to make the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and in the sanctuary is the divine presence in a very, very intense way. But everyone is able to cope with that. It is not too much there. Obviously a person's life is a holy life, but we try to make it a holy life. We don't want anything unholy in our life. But it doesn't have the intensity of the life of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you know, which was such total intensity. So there's a matter of a person being able to cope with spirituality. See, one of the paradox of spirituality is expressed by God in a statement to Moses. Even Moses, who is so exalted, lo yirani ha'odom v'chai, man cannot see me and live. In other words, close perception and awareness of Hashem is so intense that it breaks through the finitude of our lives. And in order for us to live here in this world, we have to have a finite life. We have to be finite, physical human beings. Otherwise, we won't be able to be here in this world. So That's the paradox of the spiritual. So Hashem put the intensity of the presence of the divine in the world, but in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. And going to the temple, one would occasionally go to the temple, but one would have to be very carefully prepared, one would have to be pure, there are all kinds of laws about purity in order to come to the temple. A person who had been anywhere near a corpse had to be sprinkled with the ashes mixed with water of the red heifer, the red calf, which had been offered or burnt, and then the ashes are mixed with water and they're sprinkled on the person twice in a week, and that purifies them from impurity of the dead. And other ways in which a person had to prepare themselves in order to come to the temple in the right way. So that is the temple. However, we then have the tragic event of the destruction of the temple. Where is godliness in that intense form now? So Umishachara Beis Hamikdash, when the temple was destroyed, the sages tell us, Ein laHakadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamai, God only has in his world Mishkan u'Mochon l'Shiftoi, a place for him to dwell, which means Hu Yichudo Yisborach, for his infinite unity to dwell. Eila arba amos shel halacha, the four cubits of Jewish law. This is the will and wisdom of God. Hamlubashim bahalochos, which are expressed in the laws, ha'aruchos lefaneinu, which are there arranged before us in the code of law. And when one learns halacha, the code of law, the kitzur shulchan aruch, the brief code of law, learning actual teachings, Jewish teachings about different aspects of life and behavior, putting a mezuzah on the door, laws of kashrus, laws of Shabbos, how does one keep Shabbos, is this permitted, is that permitted? So all these laws, they actually contain within them the divine presence. And when we are learning those laws, that divine indwelling enters our mind, because we're then learning Torah, and our mind is wrapped around the divine teaching, and while we're thinking about that, the divine teaching is wrapped around us, and so the mind is wrapped around it, and the divine teachings wrap around the mind, and so therefore that is the way for us to bond with Hashem in an intense way as far as our soul is concerned, but not in a way which we find too intense and destructive. So it's not like when God was revealed at Mount Sinai that their souls fled and so they weren't able to continue normal life. And even with the temple, alright, so there's a divine presence in the temple, but then people were living normal lives at home. So we are able to take a book and learn in it a little bit of Torah, telling us the rules of how you keep Shabbat. You're allowed to do this, but on the other hand, we're not allowed to do that. Defining it exactly. And at that moment, what is happening is we are encountering the presence of the divine in a wonderful way. And so therefore, the advice that he's giving to us here, V'lachein, and therefore, Acha sheyamika odem achshavtoin, when a person thinks very deeply, Be'inyan bitul hanal, about the abnegation of all existence before God, which is what the previous chapter was about, the whole idea of simply the oneness of God, and just focusing on the oneness of God and being aware of that, kafi yacholtoi, as much as we're able to do, then we should say the following things to ourselves. Zois Yoshev El Libay. This is what the person should say to his to himself or herself. Kimiyois Kotten Sichli. Since my mind is too small. Vesholish Nishmosi. Even the root of my soul is too small. Laha mehachil liyois mekava umishkan yechuda yisparach. I can't be a chariot to God, to the oneness and unity of God, the same way that Abraham is. It's too much. Be'emes la'amitoi, if we're going to talk in a true way. Ma'achad de'leis machshav de'li tvisi u'masegas bo yisparach klal u'klal. Because my mind doesn't grasp God at all. Shuma soga ba'olam, not in any way, ve'loi shemetz mineyo, and not the slightest scrap, ma'hasogas ha'ovos, of the way that the patriarchs grasp God, ve'anavim and the prophets. So I can't measure myself like Abraham or like Isaiah. They were incredible people. They had this incredible closeness to God. Ilozois, but nonetheless, you know what I can do. I am going to make a dwelling for God to dwell in. Who are Asik Batalmud Torah? And that is in studying Torah, like we're doing now. Kafi Hapnai Shali, according to the time that's available to me. I won't be able to do it all the time. But on a Wednesday evening, I'll come along and learn, or I'll find a time on a Thursday and on a Tuesday. I will make time bekviyas sitim, fixing times for Torah study b'yoyim uvalayla, day and night. Kedas hanitna l'chol echod v'echod. We're going over the page now, page 155-156. No, you have to go. It's on the back of the previous page. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Kadosh hanitna l'chol echod ve'echod, like the advice, the teaching which is given to every person behilchus Talmud Torah, in the laws of Torah study. Or k'maymer hazal, as the sages tell us, afilu peilik echod shachris chuli, that one chapter in the morning and maybe one chapter in the evening. In other words, organizing life in such a way that we're able to regularly learn Torah. And in that learning of Torah, that is where we actually have the infinite oneness of Hashem there in our minds, what we're thinking about. We're studying words of Torah, whether a person is studying Tanya or Chumash or Halacha, one Jewish law, whatever it is that they're studying, or Talmud, Mishnah, whatever it is, there is a spiritual dimension within our minds in a most incredible way. Ubazeh, we're just doing a couple of lines more till the full stop. Ubazeh yismach liboy, his heart will rejoice. Vyogel, it'll be happy. Vyitn hoydo al chelkoy, and will thank God for our portion. Besimcha v'tuv levav, with real joy and happiness of heart. Al shazocha liyois ushpazichen negvura, that we have the great merit to be the host for God, as if we are hosting God in our homes. Imagine if royalty would come and visit one's home, and you're looking after royalty in your own home. So we are welcoming Hashem in our home, in our being, in our minds and hearts. Twice a day, he's talking here about a person learning Torah in the morning and in the evening, but whenever it might be, however it fits into our daily life, our daily routine, according to a person's time and according to their timetable, you could say, according to what Hashem gives the possibility to a person. Sometimes a person is frantically busy. It's just impossible to take 5 minutes to learn something, or so it seems. Or a person is able, maybe hopefully a little more relaxed, and they're able to take an hour, half an hour, and spend some time learning Torah and feeling that beautiful, joyful closeness to Hashem. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.